When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
An Erio's original.
It's over the last like few years I got back into exercising.
Ew.
I know. But I realized that when I do it, I feel better.
Right. Alexa just told me that she's from Latin America. I just thought you were from Brooklyn.
Well, my mom and dad are both Panamanian, and I was actually born in New York, and then I moved to Panama when I was a baby, and I moved back to the U.S. when I was a teenager. So I lived in Panama from when I was like a few months old until I was between 12 and 13.
Interesting.
And so what we were talking about before we started recording was like what's our style was, I guess, like late 80s, early 90s. And when I first moved to the U.S., I went to Woodbury Commons. I remember it very clearly. It was in the first year of moving to New York, and my parents had given me $200, which was a lot.
Yeah.
And
you can buy an outfit.
I bought two outfits, actually, nice. And they were both by that designer, Gerbeau.
Totally.
And there were sets. One was a red denim skirt and a red denim jacket, and the other was like a turquoise blue jean and a turquoise blue jacket. Mm. And they were like tight, so tight on my body. But that was the style that I had grown up with, which was the opposite fit of what my soon-to-be friends would be wearing, which was like low pants, giant clothes. And I still pretty much wore very fitted clothing throughout most of my childhood, because my parents were also tailors, and I don't think that their brains could understand that.
That makes so much
they're like,
sense.
But
to
why
me.
Would you wear like saggy clothes when clothes are supposed to fit? And so I always wore pretty fitted stuff.
Your parents being tailors is, first of all, it's very lucky. It's very lucky. Second, your clothes. Do you know how to tailor things?
I don't know how to sew at all. Both.
Right.
They wouldn't let me do that. They wouldn't let me figure that out. I know how to thread a needle. I can do a pretty good hand stitch. But I think that what had started off as something that was a hobby that then they became really good at, that then became like a career for them, is pretty hard work. And like physically pretty intense.
Yes.
And so I think that they associated it with like a tier of labor that they didn't want for me.
Right.
There'd been a sewing machine almost always in my house. And then when I was a teenager, there wasn't one. Like they would do that elsewhere. And they never wanted me to do it. I bought a sewing machine a few years ago, this beautiful sewing machine that's like a desk. And they were visiting me in LA, and I had to ask them to teach me how to thread it. And I haven't used it since because I was pretty intimidated by it.
It's very intimidating to me too. I asked for a sewing machine as a wedding gift from my aunt.
Did you get one?
It's beautiful. I have not opened it. I have not taken it out of the box because
it's still in the box.
I'm scared. One, I don't know how to use it. Two, I'm afraid that once I do take the time to learn how to use it, I will become obsessed with it.
That's, I feel that way too. Mm-hmm. I actually think that once I, if I were to actually decide to do it, and that I would get good at it, yeah. and then I would be like, well, this is what I'm doing. Right. Which I'm not sure why that's a bad thing, but I don't know if I'm ready to have that be like a part of the thing that I want to be focusing my energy on.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what you're deciding too, that like maybe that's not how you want to focus your energy right now.
Well, yeah, I already have had my hobbies.
Making clothes for your kid.
I know.
Come on.
And also just being able to fix my own clothes. It's so, to just take something in a little bit, hem up a jean, fix a hole. I mean, which I can do with my hand, but.
But the really good version
but
of it.
But then, yeah. And then I would also want to, I know I would dive headfirst into textile art. Like, I don't even know what that means.
You have a full career right now. I love it.
Oh, you're like, it so always I'm doing goes there. So that's why I started the podcast. It's because my hobbies kind of take over my life. And so I was like, well, I have to like, I don't want them to take over my life because I don't want, like I paint, but I don't want to have a career as a painter. And I do it.
Do you paint for other people?
No. I mean, I love the idea of showing it. Like I feel like art should be seen. Sometimes I'll make things for somebody, mm-hmm. but no, I don't start with any intention. It's just because I feel like I like the way it feels. I want to see if I, what will, something will turn into. I like the process of doing it. I have tons of paintings. I can give them away. I don't sometimes, but I feel like it's kind of conceited because it's like, well, here's one of my paintings. And then like, what if you don't like it? Are you supposed to hang it like every time I come over? Like, are you supposed to, like, I think it's such a personal thing.
As in someone's taste in art is yeah. a personal thing. I get that. I feel like if someone gave me a painting that they made, I would think it was just such a warm gesture.
Yeah.
I guess it's the intention with which you're making it,
totally.
Right? Like if you are saying, I painted this for you or I mm-hmm. painted this with you in mind, that feels different than like, I just have so much art,
right,
I need
here
to like
you
get
go.
Rid of it. Like
right.
that feels less warm or the gesture
right.
feels less...
I agree, fully.
You know what I mean?
It's like less personal. So I have a bunch of paintings that I've never made for anybody, but I have paintings that like, I'm going to make my friend a housewarming gift. And then I have the intention and then I give it to them. But yeah, I totally agree. And maybe I sound conceited now by agreeing with you.
You could paint your friends a painting of their house.
Ooh, that's such a good idea.
Right?
Yeah. I never even thought to do that. And I love painting houses sometimes. Like I did a series.
I can't wait to see your things after.
Yeah, I'll show you. I mean, I will give you something, but like, and also no pressure like that.
No. I would love to walk away from your house with a piece of art. So
like, that
I'm
makes
glad
me
that that's recorded.
Make you something.
Well, maybe I can take something and then you can also make me something.
Yeah.
My birthday is on Tuesday. So
I knew you were Pisces.
You did?
I just had that feeling and I was going to ask you. Like,
you know signs?
No, but I am a Pisces.
When's your birthday?
March 8th.
Okay. So you're in early March. February 25th.
Yeah. It's cool. It's close to being a leap year baby, but not
yeah.
quite.
I had a year where I lied about that.
That is
in
of course
elementary
you did. Thank God you did.
I don't know all of the specifics of it, but I remember saying that I'd been born on a leap year and that like we had landed on the 25th because that just had felt better. Like mm-hmm. my parents had landed on that, but that wasn't real.
Such
and I don't know. There were more pieces to this.
Of course you were going to, if you have a birthday that falls, oh shit, I just realized I forgot to call Chrissy on her birthday. Chrissy, happy birthday. Shout out if you're listening to this and I know you're going to.
Happy birthday.
See, Chrissy, number one, my girl. Anyway, yeah, if you have a birthday that falls after the 21st, I hope that you went through a phase where you lied and said you were a leap year baby. Come on.
Right? It feels like, it feels a little unfair.
Yeah.
Right? To not have to not be born on the 29th.
Do you know anyone? Have you ever met me either? But like,
no, I haven't actually. And I was looking at the calendar on my wall and I was like, oh, it's the leap year. I remember lying about that. I wanted to ask my parents more, but then I was like, better not. I don't really want to relive that. It's fine.
Yeah, like what you remember is what I mean, what I would lie.
Enough.
My mom would put rollers in my hair and I would sleep in them and then my hair would be curly the next day and I'd be like, I think I've talked about this. I'm sure I have. I'd be like, people would be like, your hair, it's so curly. And yeah, it's like my hair curls when it snows. It's so weird. Like I just lie. Like that's not a thing. But I thought when people said their hair curls when it rains, I was like, mine curls when it snows. Like I had no idea. It might be. I wouldn't put it past us to lie a little bit.
To be like really vivid teller of tales as kids.
Oh, I once told someone I was a ghost and they believed me.
Wait, it was another child.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, what age was that person?
Fifth grade. I told her I was a ghost.
You told her she also couldn't tell anyone, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, you don't tell anybody. They're just going to say that I'm lying. Like, you heard it here first. It's like, that's why me, like the only people who know is like, are me and my parents.
And now her.
Right. Because we were talking about what our biggest secret was. And she was like, we were asking each other like 20 questions. And like to avoid, she was like edging close towards like masturbation. And there was
I like that you just got really quiet when talking about it.
Well, she was like, do you do it alone? She was like, is it something that you do alone at night? And I was like, mm-hmm. She was like, when the lights are off, like all this stuff. And then she was like, do you play with your vagina? And I was like, no, I'm a ghost. Like to avoid admitting that.
Wow, beautiful.
And she was like, what? I mean, it could have been a really sweet revealing for mm-hmm. both of us. And
the ghost route. Yeah. I mean, just you went the classic ghost route. I had this whole plan
that I was like, I know what she's getting at. Can her questions apply to both? And for whatever reason. <I'm good. laughs> Okay. But I want to ask you more about your lies because I feel like that could lead into a hobby.
Yes, please.
But I also want to talk to you about what your hobby is.
I have a few. They're not very sexy.
Great.
I would say my number one is image research.
Ooh,
I like heard that and I was like, that sounds so unhot.
What even do you mean?
So I do this every day. Uh-huh. And I do it for minimum 30 minutes, but generally about an hour. And that is I just look up images and I have like a pretty big database. I've been doing this for about, I'd say maybe 12 or 13 years. And
images of what?
Anything, like anything. The way it's cataloged is like women, groups, mm-hmm. sets of two, design, clothing, font, interiors, exteriors, theater, gestures. Like it is just
so Pinterest.
But it's not through Pinterest, but it is right. In the realm of what that is.
But it's like your own Pinterest.
Exactly. And so a lot of, actually a handful of like friends and directors, like when they put together treatments, they write me and ask me for stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, hold on. I remember. I have my memory is pretty photographic. And I'll mm-hmm. be like, oh, I feel I've seen the version of this image.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will spend, I like love being asked and tasked with finding totally. Something.
Me too, Janixa.
It's like my favorite. It really, like it's like sensual for me.
Okay. So I totally get it. I totally identify with that. I love the hunt. So I love when you're like, I have an idea of like a brown boot that I want that's this color and you're very specific about something. I want to find it for you. But it usually is specific towards like something on Etsy. And I do use Pinterest and I love searching for images, but I don't do, and I love it, but it, but you do it to another level. Like, you've been doing it since before Pinterest was invented.
Yeah, that's why. So I have a Pinterest. What I have used it for is more for clothing stuff. Like, oh, I want to buy that, but I don't want to spend that much. So, like, I have a catalog of, like, things that I love.
When,
in fact, this is, like, probably a lamer telling of, like, how particular I am. But when people want to buy me gifts, which is, like, I'm not a good person to get gifts for. I'm a good person to get, I'm just, like, get me art books. That's all I want is art books. But if you, like, insist on buying me something more specific.
Go to this page.
You go to this page. Yeah. And so I have, like, a page of just things that I like, and you can, like, pick from that.
That's pretty badass that you give
that. Oh, you don't think that's shitty?
Well, that's where my husband gets me presents. I have a want page on my Pinterest, and for holidays and birthdays, he gets me, he goes, he knows where to look, and he gets me something off that page, and it's a win-win situation. I mean, he doesn't have to, like, go crazy.
I feel it's fine. I had said it to someone and they thought it was kind of, like, shitty of me, but it means that when I open the thing, I don't have to pretend I like it, because I genuinely do and I want it.
I think it's so great, and I think that anybody who's your really close friend or who would be in a position to get you a present for anything would greatly appreciate that. You're registering for yourself. Yeah. And then you're like, if you don't want to look at it, I love an art book. But it's so, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, well, Janixa wants an art book, but, like, I'm going to paint her. I'm going to make her an art book from me. And so, like,
I really want that's a twist from on you. So.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great.
I'll make you one and I'll give you one today.
Okay, great.
It's, like, not a problem. I love that. I want to look at it. I want to know who said that they thought it was shitty. Or, like, not specifically, but, like, maybe they weren't. Maybe that's not. I don't know. That wasn't really what I was going to ask. I just forgot what I was going to ask.
Well, it was in the context of I had made it for my now ex, because he would buy me things and I would then not wear them, or I'd say I like them, but he, and it was clear that I didn't. And then I had done that and he thought it was a great gesture for him because, like you just said about Paul, it just made that easier.
Yes.
And I had mentioned it to a few girlfriends and I think they thought that that sort of, like, took the surprise out of being gifted by your partner. And I was just like, yeah, but he's not always good at that. Or totally. He's not good at it. And I am very
surprises.
Specific.
Me too.
And
I don't want to
like a lot of things.
I like what I like and I want what I like and I don't want to be dishonest. I don't want to go through the trouble of returning something when it's a gift. Cause what a pain in the ass. And like, surprises are for children.
Exactly. I already did that phase of my life where I opened the gift and I was like, oh, wow.
Right. Like,
I'm done.
Oh my God, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's so embarrassing to open a gift in front of other people.
In general?
I think so. I mean, at this point, I'm like, I don't even know if I think of it. I think about it. I don't get that many presents. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did do that at my baby shower. I opened gifts there. And that's like one of my biggest regrets in life.
Really? Oh, I love that. I love watching it.
Me too.
But I'm like, I don't know if that's like a weird culture thing or like the culture of the people who raised you. Because I like love watching people open presents. And I get sad at modern baby showers. And I say modern because it's only like people within our age group who seem to be like, we're not doing that. And I'm like, but why? Because like, I need it. I like, my brain needs to see you open the thing.
I want to see how excited you are.
That I did the best in front of everyone.
Right.
Really.
I want everyone to be like,
see that.
Me too. Exactly. I want everybody to see like, oh my God, that's the cutest thing. What a great idea. Wow. Janixa, she
really
gives
good taste,
a great
so
gift.
So thoughtful.
I love watching
it. Celebrated.
Yeah. So I guess when I was doing it, I felt like, I felt like very alone in that, like maybe I'm the only person who enjoys this and everybody else is really bored right now.
No.
Even though the presents were like, I had put Etsy things on my registry and like lots of secondhand and books and cute things to open. But you are just shedding so many lights on my Pisces. I just also identifying with a lot of people who I do the podcast with, even
more
if
than
I
you
don't.
Expected.
Yeah. Because like, okay, so John Glazer did it and mm-hmm. his hobby is running and I hate running. I don't care for standing even really. But we talked about running outfits for so long because that's really like what got him into it was like the gear. Like
John Glazer loves gear.
He died. So does Leslie Arfin. Yeah. I love the idea of having a hobby to find
the look,
the accoutrement, the look. I love sewing because I love notions.
Tennis for this reason.
You wish that what? Play tennis.
Yeah, because don't know how to play. I got the contact recently of two people who would do beginner's lessons.
I know somebody who can teach you who's one of my favorite people ever.
Really?
Daniel, if you're listening, I have a project for
you. Okay, great. Because I really want to learn, and I mainly want to learn, I think, actually, because I just want to dress like that.
Yeah. Which
I feel like that's like a luck
for me. I am so codependent. Suddenly, I'm the same. I'm like, we can. Like, please include me, please include me, please include me.
Don't you want to see those outfits?
Yes.
Like, I feel like I need that, right?
Of course. And I think you can wear those. I get it though. Like, you don't want to look like you're playing tennis. You want to live your lyrics.
Oh, that's pretty.
My ex-boyfriend, who is a rapper, said that.
I really like that.
Yeah, you want to live your lyrics.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna use that later today.
That's great.
Okay, cool.
Share. That's how I felt about dance clothes. Because I just always wanted to dress like a dancer, like. Oh, these leg warmers are like so torn up. Like, oh, I just don't have time to like get new ones. I'm just gonna they're just like frayed. And I just wanted
to have that.
I wanted old dance wear. But I had
totally
to dance.
Get that.
Yeah.
Actually, I used to be a runner, but when I was a runner, the looks weren't as hot then. This was like 90s, 80s, 90s.
Early 80s had good running style.
Yeah, I was
like
too
shorts
young
over
to
sweatpants
to like really appreciate it. But I used to, I had a coach and I was in training. I was going to go to like the Junior Olympics when I was a teenager.
For like running fast?
Running track and field, yeah. Like so 200, 400 hurdles.
Are you really fast?
Not anymore.
But you could be with the right training.
I could be with the right training. Like, I will never be as fast as I was because I had spinal surgery. So, like, my body changed when I had spinal surgery. But up until when I had spinal surgery, I was, like, I wanted to go to the Olympics.
Spinal surgery?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Genixa, what?
You want to talk about hobbies, and I'm like, what about spinal surgery?
I know. I want to talk about so many things. I want to know, I'm not gonna forget spinal surgery.
Oh, you don't. We're good. We don't have to.
Okay.
I'm with my plate.
But I do want to know. I'm still not over like the image searching, but I also get that because you're a director. So that's sort of like an image based, right?
Absolutely. It started as I used to have a photo blog. It's still online. I haven't updated it.
JanixaBravo.com?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't updated it in like 3 or 4 years, mainly because it was through WordPress and then they locked me out of my account and I've tried to go back into it and we're just like in this loop.
Yeah.
Where, and then I just was like, you know what? I don't need to have a photo blog. I'm like in my late 30s.
But
it's
are you still paying for it?
I pay for my website, but I'm just paying for my name. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm paying for Janixa.com, so which is like, what, $5 a year or some shit like that. It's not excessive. I just
That's fine.
Yeah. So it's fine, smart. But it like died in, I think it's 2016. And so I used to have this photo blog. I think it was born out mostly of a frustration in that I wanted to be directing. I wasn't directing. And the thing that kind of soothed me, and now it very much is, I realize that it's like a soothing mechanism. It's sort of like therapeutic for me to hang out in imagery.
Right.
And
I like that.
Whereas people maybe like read news at the top of the day. I do that.
Paul does that. I don't.
I can't anymore. I used to. I used to start my day by reading news, and now...
I asked him not to tell me anymore because it was making me too bummed out.
Yeah.
So now he shows me a picture of a cute animal.
That's a great way to start the day.
Yeah, because I just couldn't wake up every morning.
You don't...
Hearing like Trump, Trump, Trump. I was like...
You don't have to.
Right.
That's the thing, is that you don't have to, and I...
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually watched a little bit of the debate a couple of days ago, and I didn't want to at first. And I've been having this back and forth with a handful of friends, and because I think they feel like I'm despondent or that I don't care. And I'm like, it's not that I don't care. It's that I'll dip my toe when I feel like I need to. And I otherwise like, it just doesn't help me. It doesn't feed me. It makes me feel bad. And just like being alive is enough. So I just don't really need it. And I think it's okay. And that's a part of the privilege I get to exercise, is that I don't have to read news.
You don't
if I don't want to.
I feel the same exact way. I dip my I'll step in when I feel like I need to, and it's something that like I can't not. It's boring to me. It's a bummer. It doesn't put me in a good mood. It doesn't. I don't want to fight. I don't want to, I don't know. I just, I'm like an artist. Don't you feel like that? And so it's like when I'm angry about anything, be it like political or personal, both, I like to put it into something that where I'm most communicative, which is in various forms, one way or another, as I'm assuming you do as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need writing. To expend my energy there.
Right.
And I feel there, I already have so little time that I'm putting into the work already because I'm spending most of it not doing it or thinking about it.
Oh my God, I love you. Looking up images of twins.
Yeah.
That's what's, you were like women, groups of people, doubles. I was like, twins. She's looked up twins.
Oh, absolutely. Triplets. I look up twins all the time. I look up triplets all the time. I like sets of people in matching outfits.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. People in pets. Tons of that. It's also been an exercise that I've been doing a little bit differently like the last couple of years too, because I have only gotten to direct a couple of commercials, but in working in that world, everyone is white in that space. Almost literally everyone is white. And everyone who writes treatments are white, and everyone is white. And so a few times when I pitch on things, I'll shockingly have to ask, when we're pulling images, can we pull images that also include non-white people? Because I'll be presented with...
What if you didn't ask?
Well, I hadn't before.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, okay, one of the ways you want to work on a commercial and it's narrowed down to three directors and you pitch on it. And when you pitch, you like give them a visual deck and treatment of the thing that you're going to do. And if you're signed by an agency, the agency will like help you pull references and they'll bring somebody on that'll help you kind of like write in that way. Cause that's not exactly the way that's not how I write or communicate.
Of course. Yeah. I've written like
it's got
before.
A formality about it that's like, I'm a little bit more like, hey, what's up? Yeah. And those are more
it's
like,
square.
So thank you so much for having me.
Right, right.
Yeah, they're much more square.
So you have to be like, oh, you can hire me. I'm a black woman, but I'm white person friendly. I'm not going to.
Totally.
You don't have to be scared of me because when I direct, I see white people to make them feel better.
I just think to me, it's a bananas thing. And like, I also, well, what ends up happening is so to go back to like having these images, right? I would see that people would use pictures of men where there should be, say, women, or they would use pictures of all white people where we were talking about, like, you know, brown people. And I was like, well, why don't we just find the people that look like the thing we're talking about, because the invisible becomes whiteness.
Right.
And so I think one of the core starts to it was just being able to include non-white people in visual breakdowns, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that if the watcher or the receiver of those images sees non-white people and is averse or is like, well, is it all of a sudden like not white? Then that's on them to like deal with whatever their brain is doing on that.
And they can't handle doing that.
Yeah, because I think it's, you know, it's like the idea is to normalize, you know, that I could see a black woman, but know that we're talking about a white woman and realize that what we're looking at in the image is something emotional or tonal or like aesthetic, right? In the same way that we do the opposite all the time.
Right. Like whether something's urban or high end.
Exactly. Like urban doesn't have to mean black and high end doesn't have to mean white. Right. And so it's like being able to integrate both of those spaces so that we're focusing less, I guess, on racial economics or the like tie to racial economics and more just feeling and energy.
Yeah.
They told you it's like not a hot hobby. It's really sort of like nerdy, but
no, well, nerdy part of having a hobby is like very nerdy. Hate to break
true.
It to you.
It is true.
Yeah. We're like doing something that we really like doing.
Like by ourselves mostly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell me more. Tell me what else. Because you said you had a few.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So another one that I really love, it's over the last like few years, I got back into exercising.
Ew.
I know. I know. But I realized that when I do it, I feel better.
Right.
And when I don't do it, I'm angrier. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a Pisces thing, but very emotional. And most of my emotions go towards a dark place.
Yeah.
And most of my emotions go towards like a, yeah, they're certainly all against me and nothing is working out.
Yeah.
And I find that if I've, in having added exercise, there is at least 1 hour of the day that my brain doesn't do that. And when I come out of it, I feel stronger.
Mm-hmm. What's your exercise?
Right now, I'm vacillating between Pilates and rowing.
Oh my God, rowing has always been a fantasy.
Really?
Yeah, and I've even gone so far as to Google where to row in LA. And I did that in New York too. And it was like, you know, Chelsea Piers, like rowing, it was more accessible there. It's more of like an East Coast thing, or at least something that's closer, closer to the
it's
water.
It's stationary.
It's hot. I want to know about outfits for rowing and for Pilates. I want to know about all your outfits for exercise.
I would love to row in water. That would be the best, but it's too far.
Okay, you know, so you do it like at a gym.
It's
Right, so I forgot about that. That's
an option.
That's one of the toys at the gym. Yeah, that's how long like I haven't been inside of a gym.
So I go to like a rowing class.
Really?
And I do. In New York, actually, there are a few great stationary rowing places where, like, you only row for, like, 45 minutes to an hour. And they set the pace of your row and, like, how many buckets and, you know, we're going to do this many laps or this many meters. It's in meters.
It's pretty chic.
Yeah, it's a meters. It's a meters sport. And
And so you're, like, in a fake boat?
You're on. I like I want the thought of it being a fake boat. Did you watch like season one of House of Cards?
Yeah.
It was, yes. It was what the, totally. It, it's the machine heat. It looks like that. It's that machine. Literally. Yeah. It's more like a rectangle.
Right.
It's like pretty rudimentary, actually.
God damn it.
It's not hot.
I want to see you in like a polo shirt.
Oh my God.
A sweatband. Yes. I want to see you like you rowing for Yale. Yeah.
You want the like Tom Brown New York version of the rowing.
Because
look.
You have a very preppy look at times. It's very
I'm mostly pretty preppy.
Yeah.
I like so cute. Want this like yacht club aesthetic. Yeah. I'm like interested. I don't know how I arrived at that, but I think my father used to sail when I was younger and we'd been sailing a bunch of times, and I think I've always been drawn to what that looks like. I mm-hmm. think in there's that great scene in Paris is Burning
mm-hmm.
where they're talking about basically like using dressing up as like playing to the thing that you want to be.
Yeah, costumes, themes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that aesthetic speaks to a certain kind of comfort, mm-hmm. a degree of casual
yeah.
that is not a part of like the rest of like any part of like living in my body. And so, but I like that aesthetic feels that way.
Yeah.
And so it like in a way evokes an ease that I don't usually have, if that makes sense.
Totally. It makes total sense to me. You pull it off in a way that's how it reads.
Oh, thank you.
It's like, well, Jinix is super confident and like very comfortable and everything's always fine, because that's what the preppiness of like the yacht club, country club, Ivy League is like. No matter what, I'll be fine.
Totally.
Even if like the worst things happen, which they do, and then we'll just plant it in the rose bush and mm-hmm. everything's fine.
Plant it in the rose bush. That's another good one. I'm going to use that. I love that. I don't even know. Doesn't that feel like something?
Yeah, we'll just plant it in the rose bush. I just found out my parents are actually brother and sister. It's fine. We'll just plant it in the rose bush.
It feels so chic.
Yeah, that's how I envision you.
Thank you. Planting it in the rose bush.
I just always like your... The way you carry yourself and how you dress, I feel like I've never had to worry. I've never been like, I'm worried about Gen X.
Oh, good. Now that you know I'm a Pisces, though,
right.
You should be.
And now that I know that like we have the same deep, dark fears and insecurities and both don't do anything all day, but like, except really like we do our work and when... For me, I'll say I do my work until I get to the point where I can't not do it. And then and only then
mm-hmm.
will I have a breakthrough. But I need to do a lot of things before that. And I have a very high tolerance for boredom. Like I don't get bored.
I agree. I don't. It takes a lot. I also think when people say they're bored or... For instance, when someone has watched something and their takeaway is that it was boring,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, that actually speaks more to you and like whatever sort of like malaise right. or laziness happens inside of you, because it takes a lot from bored is not
right.
a go-to reaction that I tend to have.
Same. There was one movie I thought was very boring.
Are you going to tell?
Yeah. Jerry, the Gus Van Sant movie with like Matt Damon and...
Oh, Ben. It's an aimless like walking movie.
They're just
right?
walking through a desert, yelling the word Jerry.
I never
didn't care for
saw
it.
That, but the trailer looked like it did that, and I thought that wasn't for me.
Not for me. Not for
what
me.
What else? What other art do you think is boring?
I don't like love like silent films. No, I don't love like lots of like old timey stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
surprised you don't, because I feel like you would really gravitate towards like the rhythm of language.
I think I love it, and I love the novelty of that. But I don't love like sitting through 2 hours of it. Some movie like if it's good, it's good. It doesn't matter when it's from. But like, it's not the first thing I'll go to. And Paul has a higher, like, just for fun, he's like, I'm going to put on Playtime. It's like this French abstract.
One of my favorites. I'm
like, really?
I have that on in the background a lot. But I have his movies on a lot in the background.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Paul just, I'm like, this is what you want to put on before you. He's like, I only have like 45 minutes until I have to go to my UCB show. So I'm just going to watch Playtime. I'm like, really? Like, not like Billy Madison. It's on. It's on.
I get that.
Right.
That is totally the I'm like, let's put on Criterion. We have 20 minutes.
Right. Like, he goes there.
Yeah. I'm like, we should watch like a really intense 20 minutes of a really intense, like 3-hour French movie.
So, yeah. So I'm more like, I'll play cards. Like, I like doing that. But I think that's cool. Well, also makes sense that you do that because
yeah, I'm always going to go towards what's visual.
Yeah.
Like, almost always. And I don't need even to have the sound on. It's just looking at the pictures.
So I just want to talk. So you were doing rowing. You do rowing and you're saying you're back and forth between rowing and Pilates. And do you do these things by yourself?
I do. I mean, I take classes. You mean like, do I do privates?
No, I just meant like, do you have like a bunch of girls?
No.
Okay.
I really don't want to exercise with someone else. Right.
Were you afraid? Yeah, I don't know why I thought it was like a thing. I guess because I've been afraid of going to the gym. Like, gyms intimidate me.
They do. What do you like classes though, where someone tells you what to do?
Yes.
Because I really like that.
I do, but I didn't. I like dancing. I like dance classes. So like, I would join a gym.
Are you a good dancer? Like, you're a good like 5, 6, 7, 8 and bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm good, but like, I enjoy like moving my body in that way and like trying. Like, I wouldn't say I'm good.
I'm not good at it.
Okay.
And I get annoyed about not being good at it. Like, I'm always like in the dance. I've taken a few dance classes. Like, I'll take ballet sometimes. I remember mm-hmm. you were taking ballet.
Mm-hmm. Outfits.
And I'll take ballet like 3 or 4 times a year.
Where?
And, I'll go to Ballet Bodies, which is right by my house.
Right. That's what I was wondering if you still lived over there because I want to go to Ballet Bodies.
Their ballet class is great. I mean, I don't, the only part of it that I don't like is at the very end of class where there's like a 10 minutes of like dancing across the floor and everyone's watching you. And I'm like, this makes me want to die.
And you don't have to do it, but it is suggested.
It's suggested, and oftentimes, mm-hmm. like, I'll be the only person that looks like me in the room, and then I'm the only one not doing it, and then I'm feeling, like, all weird about all of those things, and then I'm like, I have to do it. But I just don't have that. I've never been a dancer.
That intimidates
I'm, like,
me too.
A runner. I just am, like, that is more of the way that I, like, my body moves. I would love to do dancing, because it is fun. Do you remember that class? It's on your side of town. I forget the choreographer's name. His first name, I think, is Ryan. And he would do something called like a sweaty Sunday.
Yeah, me and Margaret Cho, who did this podcast, were just talking about him.
What's his
name?
He
does sweaty Sundays. Ryan Heffington.
Yes.
So I've taken his classes before. And Ryan, I mean, he's
fast, right? I feel like he's fast.
Those classes were intimidating to me. He's like a bit of a guru. He is amazing. But like at the dance spot, people who go there are like very, very good. And it's like, be who you are and like move your body. And like, it was hard. And there's a lot of people in that class. And even still, it was just like, I did it, but I only did it once. It just was hard for me. It's hard for me to like follow a guru if I'm not their favorite.
Oh.
If I'm not the Sheila.
I like that you know that about yourself and that you could voice that. And I'm curious if that's a way that I would feel. Not being the favorite, but maybe wanting to be tended to.
I need to be tended to a little bit. I don't, maybe not the favorite or the best in the class, but like, I need to know I have a little like understanding with the teacher.
Yeah. We're a little like our own side by right. Yeah.
We have our own relationship. We're right. Like you may be the best dancer, but like we have our private jokes.
Yeah.
He knows me.
Yeah, like he's looking at me right now. We're right. close. I like that. I think you might have tapped into something that
I think you're there.
I think you're right too. I almost wrote a complaint to one of the places that I do Pilates at.
Uh-huh.
Because there's this teacher who's phenomenal, but she's Russian, and I love taking Pilates from Russian teachers, like Russian women, because they're a little bit aggressive and strict. Right. It's kind of they like used to be ballerinas, and right. now they do Pilates, and right. they're basically just teaching Pilates the way they do ballet.
Great.
And it's like with an emphasis on the classical, and they're like pretty aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in this one class where I just thought she was castigating me a little bit more than usual. And it was like it was bothering me because I was like, I'm getting negative attention and I'm the youngest person in the room and I've been doing Pilates for like 15 years. So like, obviously I'm great at this and I don't know why this is happening. And I got really like sensitive about it and wanted to write a complaint. And then I talked myself off the ledge and was like, let's not write a complaint to the Pilates studio that we plan on going to for more years.
Right. So maybe it's because she knew that you had it in you.
Exactly. It's sometimes like with ballet teachers, you know, a jerk.
Right, because they're whiplashing you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I've definitely like cried before in like writing classes and dance classes where like my teacher's been hard on me, but in a way that just like hit me a little. It was just like not a great day.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, it's obviously about something else.
Right, like
it's,
totally.
Were I, it's my like constitution mommy. A little stronger, right. I wouldn't be getting sensitive about like tucking my tummy and like lowering my ass. Like, why is that making me sad?
I know. Please validate me, mom. Dad, like you're the authority. I mean, ultimately, it's not, that's what it symbolizes, I guess, not even to be like Freudian about it, but like there is something like, can you just give me like a little pat on the back or,
yeah.
you know,
take care of me, please.
Yes.
I didn't do bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a good girl. That's mm-hmm. like sounded gross.
But it is that. I think it's always rearing, right? And whatever. I like class because I like the arc of like an hour. I like the idea of good grades.
Yeah.
I like, you know, I want the sticker. I want the thumbs up. I want to walk out of there and feel accomplished.
Right. An hour is the perfect time. Nothing should ever be longer than an hour.
Also, I just think like in our adult life, it's really hard to get those like a 45 to 50 minute dose of feeling complete.
Yeah.
That is just you.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I arrived at exercising again because I like can't, I obviously don't want to do it. Obviously, I clearly don't want to do that. But I arrived at it because I realized that like, I was thinking like, what did I want my body to feel like in 20 years? And when I looked at that, I was like, oh, I want to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be one of those old people that like lives, you know, with whoever until like I want to die in my own house mm-hmm. with myself or my people, you know, mm-hmm. like I don't want to go to a place. And so I have to now start doing that. Like I kept being like, oh, it'll happen later. And I'm like, but if I do it now, then it just becomes like a part of my practice
mm-hmm.
and not something that I have to learn. I don't have to learn it later because I'm embedding it into my behavior now.
Do you still smoke cigs?
Absolutely. And do I lie to every doctor? Yes, indeed. Yes. Correct.
Thank
but
God.
I'm still pretty strict about it. I don't know if you remember. Like, I don't smoke during the day.
Yes, I remember that.
I smoke when the sun has set, and I smoke 2 to 3 cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to only smoke like Thursday to Sunday, unless I'm working.
I remember that. There's like a couple of people who I know who can do that. And I think it's great. I mean, I vape now.
I'm afraid of that.
You should be because
then
it's
I think
all
I would do.
Do
it.
I was looking at it
in your hand and I was like, that looks delicious. And then I was like, and that's why you can't. because I was like, that looks great. I love it. I'm sure that feels really good in your hand. I remember, I mean, being on set after, you know, like not going to the bathroom for like 7 or 8 hours, like just shooting and seeing somebody do that inside and being like, oh, yeah. Fuck you. Like, I want that so
it's
bad.
It's perfect
like,
for no, set.
Can't.
It's perfect for indoors.
Yeah, can't. I have to be really aggressive and strict in that way with myself about smoking, because if I'm not, then it would be the opposite.
Yeah, I have no self-control.
You know, it's like I'd smoke in my bedroom. I mean, I smoke at home too, you know? So like, yeah. I would then like smoke inside all the time. I would like not open window. I would just like smoke in the car. I can go pretty extreme about things. And so
I never didn't smoke in my car. I mean, I can't imagine driving without smoking as a smoker. Wait, so we are going to wrap up, and did you have any other hobbies that you wanted to bring up?
No, I think that those are my ones.
I still want to know about your outfits to when you go to Pilates and rowing. Cuz I know they're not just like you're not throwing on some like basic shit.
No, but I'm really into exercise clothes, yeah. Obviously. Like I have
But you make it look you pick the cool things. So like what from like Nike?
I stopped shopping fast fashion cool. 5 years ago.
Smart.
But.
Admirable.
But sneakers are hard.
Right.
I have like had recommendations of sneakers that are like earth friendly. In fact, I'm wearing these Adidas sneakers that are like 70% reuse mm-hmm. something. And I don't have them right now, no, but like that's what I'm wearing. Shoes.
They're
run.
Like a really cute like camel My Oxford.
My friend made those. They're called really? Good Guys Don't Wear Leather.
Get up after.
Yeah.
I love them.
And so I try to not wear shit that's made fucked up.
Yeah.
And which has, by the way, has created a much healthier relationship to shopping. I always like vintage anyways. So yeah. That's like a place I will go towards. And then trying to buy stuff that's made a little more consciously, which is more expensive. But it just also means shopping less. And that's totally fine. I don't need to...
I'm on the same page.
I mean, like, I know you were, like, into clothes. I, like, love a tee. I mean, just love clothes.
I love clothes, and I'm only doing vintage and small business. Because same. I have to buy clothes for me and for my kid now. And, like, enough's enough with the fucking kid clothes.
But this is why I need you to learn how to sew, because I feel know. Like you would make such great clothes for your kid.
I think that I would, too.
You know?
It would be really fun and cute. This is great, actually, though, because it's interesting to not do fast fashion and you need workout clothes. So it's...
There's a handful of brands.
Talk to me about them.
Outdoor Voices is
right,
great.
I love Outdoor Voices.
Girlfriend or Girlfriend Collective.
Okay.
Everlane has a little bit of an exercise line, but I mostly have from those places. And then I have like my exercise stuff that I've just had forever,
right?
Which mostly is almost all Nike or Adidas. And then I have
from
my
running
my old,
years ago.
Yeah. From like, I like hand wash most, like almost all of my clothing or do like cold wash, hang to dry. So like my shit lasts for a really long time. So I have a lot of old stuff. And then, yeah, so that's really like my exercise vibe is those brands. And I would be down to finding others, but it just, if you don't want to shop at Zara's or H&M or The Gap or, you know, Aloe Yoga or I don't know, I'm like, I can't think of other
Lululemon.
Like if you don't want to shop at those places, it becomes very narrowed, like what your options are. Yeah. And the price points aren't exactly fair to people who like want to shop like that, but don't have the... you know, the budget to do that.
Is it cool or uncool to wear vintage dance wear to work out?
No, I think that that's great. I have some vintage pieces. I don't have that many and I don't wear them that often because they're a little like, they're not sturdy enough for like long-term sweat.
Yeah.
But yes, that sounds great and wonderful.
I have.
And you should.
I love vintage dance wear.
Where are you getting Etsy?
And thrift stores and costume stores. Like there's a costume store on Hollywood that's super old and great and like dusty and it's so fun. I got Mary like a dead stock like Holly Hobby Halloween costume. But then I ended up making her costume. But like I really wanted to get it just for
just
dress
to
up.
Have it for you.
I really love. Yeah, I just don't. I don't even really enjoy like Zara and H&M anymore.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is the pleasure of those places faded. I think the pleasure of those places faded when someone told me a story about some dock where like a woman's at a sewing machine and then you like look under the table and her kid's like in a basket under the table. And I was like, oh, I'm good. Right. I don't know that I like need the like $20 shirt that I'm only going to wear for 5 weeks and then throw, like, don't,
it's,
you know,
landfill.
It's like, yeah. And so many people don't even have clothes and there's like, just, it's just so fucked up. So I can't.
Like, the kids' clothes, like they grow out of them in 2 seconds. And I'm like, never have I noticed how much I waste. And I'm not like getting on like some high horse here. Like, I'm not trying to be like preacher or anything. I just like didn't realize the extent of my waste until I was pregnant. And like the industry that's like everything you need to have, it's just like a pregnant woman is a great target because we're afraid that if we don't have this, we're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And then our kid will become a serial killer or whatever. We'll break, we'll die. We're bad parents. So there's so much fear behind it. And you don't need anything. You don't need anything. You don't. You don't even need your own fucking tits. If your tits don't produce milk, you will be fine.
Yeah.
You don't need a mobile. You like people have mobiles. This is what Chelsea Peretti told me. And I don't know if it was her theory, but I think it is really good that like mobiles represent like when babies would lay down and like look up at the trees. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what it's from. Like they're on their backs. They're just looking up. Before there were mobiles, they were looking at tree branches. And that's all Mary wanted to look at anyway. Like you don't need toys. This is a toy. Like this is a toy. Like And so I'm like, oh my God. And the clothes, they just outgrow them so fast. And I'm like, you go to secondhand kids' clothes and they're like, we're not accepting anything because they have too much. It's like really upsetting. So yeah, making her stuff. I give stuff away a lot, but I
would think that that's a really great, like a community of moms and dads who are just like, I have this, take it.
Yeah.
Like I have this use that you're only going to use it for this period of time. That would be really a great way to sort of like cut down on the waste of things and having a kind of circle.
I wish that I had known more about that or like been more aware of it when I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But a part of me wanted to buy in to the lie because I like buying stuff.
Yeah, same.
I'm like such love a consumer. Owning. Love it.
Oh, love owning. I'm like, where button. Am I going to buy stuff now?
Right. Yeah, with their new hobby, which is going to be sailing.
Oh yeah.
Here's
that's
the one.
Good.
That is a good one. The one question that I ask everybody, which I may have just answered for you, but like, I want to hear if you have another idea, like what something that you like. Like a hobby ideal, like something that you want to get into maybe one day, or maybe you just know that it's like, I know it's not for me, but I wish that sailing was for me, or I wish that.
I'm going to say tennis. I'm going to go back to what I projected earlier. I think tennis would be a great future hobby for me, or sewing,
mm-hmm.
or taking photos.
But you are not a photographer?
I'm not a photographer. I mean, like in a trained way where I understand light and I could take photos right. on film and not like I'm very good at instant photos and very good at like phone photos. But like and my eye is pretty trained, but I don't have the like I don't know the light thing.
From your Instagram, I kind of or maybe just like part of me just always like kind of thought that you were.
A lot of people think I'm a photographer, which I take as a high compliment to just like my framing.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'm not in the way that like I couldn't be like also a cinematographer because I'd be like, well, what's that?
Right,
is all of this? I don't know what any of this is.
Yeah. Like I knew that you weren't for a living, but that's so because I for some reason I'm like, I bet she knows about it though. But like
in a way, but not really.
Right.
You know, like if someone puts a light meter in front of my face, I'm like, I have no idea what's happening. I literally have no idea. You know, when like a photographer can look up at the sky and they're like, oh, the sun's going to be there.
Yeah.
I'd love to be the person that's like, the sun's going to be here in 5 minutes.
I think you're going to be that person.
You think I can do that?
I know you can do it. If you want to do it bad enough, cool. You will.
Okay. I'm going to work on it. That and tennis. Great.
But like, you already, like that's, I'm a little psychic.
You are? Are you a little bit of a witch?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit of a witch too. You are. But like, psychically, like.
You feel it for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to come up in like, in your work, whether it's about photography or it's you doing the photography, either way, there's an area where that's coming up for you within the next like 3 to 5.
Okay.
Maybe even like 3 months to 5 years, like maybe okay. even shorter, but yeah, cool. It's there.
Look at that. Thank you for my reading.
You know what? I hope you remember this because like, I want you to hit me up when it does.
I will.
Because it will.
I absolutely will.
Okay. And we have to take a picture of each
okay,
other.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Want to talk to Leslie about your hobbies? Call our toll-free hotline at 844-370-VOID. That's 844-370-VOID. Rate and review Filling the Void on Apple Podcasts. Filling the Void is an Erios original with editing by Tracy Levy and original score by Michael Cassidy.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.